Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 441, the box office report for the week ending January 6th, 2019.
Good job.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
There should be some applause there or something.
Not from us.
Kevin, insert after those later.
After 440 plus of these things, I love how Tom still looks over like, huh?
I did it.
We're like, yes, we do this every week. Yeah. Congratulations. They're like,
also, you have it written down in front of you.
We're you not can read.
Impressed.
So, I'm impressed.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Glad someone
I got you.
So.
I got you.
Joe's easily impressed, though.
Also true.
It's fair. Yeah. I have some of the movies you like Man of Steel.
Cue Man of Steel introductions.
So
three-fourths of Man of Steel.
So I guess before we get too far afield, let's go around the table and introduce ourselves.
Oh, this is Brad.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Brad was surprised. You've been in here enough.
I feel like like, you know, Chris is our Alec Baldwin. I feel like he's our Steve Martin.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow, that's a bit. I'd rather be Steve Martin than Alec Baldwin.
I mean, like, how many times he's been on the show.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Let's be honest.
Did you bring the jacket?
Yeah.
Because
he wore one.
He could have been Paul Simon.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I was just surprised because I'm used to listening, and then you go around the table, and then you introduce the guest.
You reach a certain point, you're not like, you've been on enough. So you've been promoted. You've been on enough that we don't have to stop and explain.
Is Dan like our Tim Meadows? Who's just like, oh, he is still there.
Like when he shows
like,
back.
He's like Eddie Murphy in that last season where he did like every other episode.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah. Well, okay, that's fair. Dan does like every other episode.
He's going to be a guest star pretty soon.
He's going to have to go last. No, you don't say your name. You wait to the end.
I think, now I'm trying to think. I think Jim Belushi had some sort of deal like that too
where he was doing every other one
where he joined the cast, like he wasn't on every episode or
what
something.
What season did he come on at? 3?
No, Jim Belushi, not John.
Jim
Belushi
right.
was on the cast. So this would have been like 83-ish.
I always forget 84? He was even on the cast.
He was good on there though.
Was he?
I remember seeing lots of sketches.
Was he during like the fallow period?
Where
Lauren had kind of stepped away, because there was that like, it was like Joe Piscopo and who's the fish called Wanda, not fish called Wanda, like soap and what's that guy's name?
If you want to figure out who you're talking about, you should name things they
I was thinking Soap Dish, because wasn't that a movie? Wasn't Soap Dish a movie that was based about?
There was a movie called Soap Dish.
Who directed that?
I don't remember.
Okay,
there were like.
Best in Show. I'm sorry. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, Christopher
of.
Guest?
Wasn't Christopher Guest on SNL during that time?
Yeah, but not during the fallow period. Well, hang on. Christopher Guest joined. No, that's Harry Shearer. Harry Shearer.
That's honestly what
was
I was thinking of.
On.
Well, like, those two guys
here
go
are
together.
The rails. Here is us off of them.
But they usually go together, right? Like, they did.
Well, because they were in Spinal Tap together.
Right.
So Harry Shearer joined. I'm doing this off the top of my head, so someone will Google and tell me if I'm wrong. But Harry Shearer joined as a cast member. In the last season of that first
initial cast.
Okay.
So, like, they had lost a bunch of them, but then some of them were on for, like, half-season deals,
right.
And they'd show up every once in a while. And then they brought in, they had elevated new other, like, featured players, or brought in new people and elevated them to cast members. So I believe Harry Shearer was one of those
Julie
people.
Louis-Dreyfus?
No. This is before that. Okay. So this is still, like, the Gilda Radner
era.
Oh,
okay.
So, but they brought in, like, Harry Shearer. They brought in, I think Al Franken got bumped up to a cast member. Paul Schaefer,
yeah,
was a cast member.
Oh, really?
For like a cup of coffee. Yeah.
Oh.
And then Harry Shearer hated it and bailed.
Okay.
And then years later, they so when Eddie Murphy basically saves the show.
Sure.
And then he leaves and they kind of
reboot it.
They want to reboot. So then now their goal is they bring in the cast of ringers. Right.
Right.
And so that's when you get Billy Crystal and then Harry Shearer rejoined
back.
And Christopher Guest.
Martin Short.
Like they, you know, that and I believe
they're in the sketch together. Right. That's them. That's Harry Shearer and Martin Short.
In the
synchronized swimming
sketch. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Can't get away with that today.
Yeah. And
it doesn't work.
And so then they brought in that cast of ringers, but they were basically like, we have film careers, so we'll do this for 1 year.
Right.
And then we're out.
Yeah.
And so then they did their 1 year and they left. And then they decided, well, that worked well. Let's do another cast of ringers and bring in established actors and performers to join the cast.
Yeah.
And so that's when you got.
Oh, boy.
Randy Quaid.
Ooh.
Anthony Michael Hall.
Really?
Yeah.
These are the clips you don't see because this season sounds like it sucked.
They're awful.
Yeah.
It was horrible. Joan Cusack.
All right, I can give you that one.
But she was not very good on the show.
Oh.
This is the season Damon Wayans was in.
Oh, really?
Didn't even know he was on SNL.
I had no idea he was on SNL.
Yeah, he basically quit in the middle of a sketch.
Oh, wow.
Well, I mean, essentially, so he played a character. Like, they had rehearsed the thing one way, and he had, like, 8 lines in the sketch. Like
he's the Pete Davidson of the sketch.
Yeah, and he was supposed to be playing a police officer. And then when they did it live on air, he played the police officer very gay with no explanation.
Ah.
And Lorne Michaels was, I think Lorne Michaels was back at this point, was like,
you're gone.
He's like, my brothers have this thing going on.
Yeah,
so I'll go,
that didn't happen for another few
years.
Yeah,
that was like 90.
My brothers are talking like about 80, doing this thing.
I thought it was like 89 or 90.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I guess that's true because I feel like Ace Ventura is like 93.
92, I think. But
so, yeah, I guess In Living Color had to be 80s, late 80s, early 90s because.
90.
Okay.
90.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to think of who else was in that cast, but it was. But it was pretty bad.
Wow.
I think Julia Louis-Dreyfus might have been in that cast, and she was one of the few that got to stick around.
She did that
John
sketch.
John Lovitz maybe was in there that time.
Well, Julia Louis-Dreyfus does that, the Gumby sketch with Donnie and Marie, and that's Eddie Murphy.
Okay, maybe she carried over. Maybe she was one of the few who carried over.
Who played Donnie Osmond in that sketch? Was it Donnie Osmond?
No.
Was it her husband? It is her husband.
No, that's Brad Hall. That was not.
That was not her husband?
Brett Hall
is
her husband,
gotcha,
but he was
gotcha.
Not the Donnie.
That's
in the
a great sketch.
It is a great sketch.
What are you doing?
But anyway, so that's
yeah.
I mean that
SNL corner.
And so then they were like, we're done. Like, and then they completely rebooted the show, or almost completely. And that's when they brought in
Joe Piscopo was on with Eddie Murphy.
Yeah,
yeah, okay.
But he was on before Eddie Murphy.
Oh, okay, okay.
Like he there was a season where Eddie Murphy was basically like an extra. And like,
isn't that weird?
I
guess that's true.
People don't remember how young Eddie Murphy was.
Oh.
I think when Eddie Murphy started SNL, he was like 19 or 20 years
old.
He's like, even now, like for as long as he's been around,
yeah.
Like, I'm trying to.
Yeah, he's not as old as you'd think because I looked up how old Eddie Murphy was and I was thinking, oh, he's older than that. And so, like, yeah, he's just started so young.
He is 57.
Okay.
Which for as long as he's been around.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, he started on SNL, I think, in, like, 82.
Because think about all the 80s stuff he did, and we're almost 40 years disconnected from the beginning of the 80s.
Yeah, for
so
sure. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's 50. Yeah.
And now he just does, you know, family stuff.
Well.
That's where he gets his paycheck.
Yeah.
He did, so what did he do? He did Dreamgirls. He did the Tower Heist, which was like, oh, wow, Eddie Murphy's back. In a
yeah, just like, Eddie Murphy.
And then, huh. And yep. then, has he done anything else since then?
Not that I can think of. I mean, Daddy Day.
No,
Daycare,
no, no,
but that's
no.
Way
after
that,
though, yeah.
Norbit.
No. But like, because Tower Heist, I remember, I was like, oh my God, Eddie Murphy's back in just a, like a comedy regular role, not a child.
I guess he doesn't have to do anything, though.
Yeah, he's like, probably got some money.
Yeah, he's doing okay.
Yeah, he's doing
okay. There was a picture over the holidays of Eddie Murphy with his kids.
Oh. How many?
I think he's got 10.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
From like 11 different women.
I was saying
how that works.
I know. It's think, a, I knew.
I feel like he's yeah.
But it was just like it was a lot of
kids.
Yeah. It was a big.
I'm surprised he's not doing more movies. Honestly.
Yeah.
Pay that.
That's how much money.
Well, Daddy Daycare. That was to get free daycare.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah.
After all that, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. Check us
are
out.
Are we? Oh, we are now.
We are. Yeah, we weren't for a minute there, and somebody brought it to our attention. For a minute, we thought, oh, is there like a curator over at iTunes now? Is there like a tastemakers? It's like, no, not doing that. But Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And also don't forget, you can check us out on Twitter at Real Spoilers or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers, people who were kind enough to share the show this week. Lane LeVanway. Well, now I don't know what to do because normally I won't say Brad's name if he was on the episode, but he wasn't on the episode, but he's sitting in front of me. So
take him out.
Decisions. Okay, Brian.
Whatever you do,
Ryan.
Don't talk about him.
Yes.
At all.
Travis T. Witt, Julianne Jordan, Ralph Dribble, Chris James, Tom Comiskey, Chris Sanders, Brent Smith, Griffin Fox Smith, Laura Conley Quiddick, Ron Johnson, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Richard Lawson, and Chris Magic Man. So thank you very much for sharing the show. We greatly appreciate it. So I guess that's all of that. We will now turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
The box office? What's that?
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Jeez. Yeah, it has.
But, well, apparently, since the last time we talked about it, not much has changed because Aquaman in week 4, still number one, making all of the money. $30 million is a 42% drop in week 4. That's $259 million domestic right now. But overseas, we're approaching the $700 million mark.
Golly.
It is now the highest grossing DC, if you want to call it the DCEU of the, you know,
it's
Man high, of Steel.
It's,
to
it's bigger
current.
Than Dark Knight.
Not worldwide.
If it's not, it's dangerously close.
That's, it's not
it.
Over a billion yet.
Look at it.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow. Okie dokie. I guess. Hold on, listeners. Pause while I look up this thing that I didn't think I had to look up.
Yeah. But no, I mean, that's what happens when you figure it out.
The guy who thought Eddie Murphy was in Soap Dish.
I know. Yeah. I never said Eddie Murphy was in Soap
issuing
Dish.
A challenge.
So The Dark Knight made $535 domestic and $469 foreign. So it is up over $1 billion.
Okay.
Like, wow, Aquaman
I didn't know
is not.
I didn't know Dark Knight made that much money.
Well, yeah. It's half. Yeah. Like, that's, I mean, you don't see that anymore either.
Totally.
Like,
Batman, and especially that Dark Knight. I mean, you know, domestically,
yeah.
People turned out. So it's
I mean, I knew it was a huge hit, but I didn't realize it made over $500 million.
It's also rare that you almost get half as much in domestic
totally.
As worldwide.
That used to be the formula.
Yeah,
and
right.
Not anymore.
I used to try to, yeah. But anyway, so yeah, Aquaman quickly approaching that. I mean, it very well could do it, but it's up around $900 million right now. So another $100 million.
It's got nothing coming up against it. Like, there's nothing in the next coming weeks that's even going to...
Escape room.
Like I said, there's nothing coming up against it.
So anyway, yes, Aquaman doing quite well. It is the number one of this newer post-Man of Steel era, and it is not stopping anytime soon. So we'll see what it continues to do in the
that's
weeks
awesome.
Coming. Number two, Mary Poppins Returns, still sticking around for that holiday money. $17 million is a 40% drop. It is at $139.95. We'll call it $140 million domestically in week 3.
I think they got to be happy with
that. I don't know how that can't be.
Especially because it kind of came out of the box, out of the gate a little soft.
Yeah.
And to be sitting at $140,
I feel like that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what happened was it was kind of like people thought, oh, well, it's going to be Aquaman or Mary Poppins Returns, right? And so, like, they're not going to go to Aquaman. Like, if they're the family audience, they're going to go to Mary Poppins. But Aquaman had a huge
right.
opening. Like, kids were going to that. I mean, that's it's your three-quadrant hit. I don't know if old people were going to,
right.
to Aquaman. But, everyone was going to taking the family to see Aquaman instead of that. But I think in the last couple of weeks, they've come around and started to go to that. But still, I mean, you're talking about it's a little over $200 million on a $130 million budget.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that expensive.
Yeah, so I mean, it's still not in profit yet, and it's in week three. So I mean, I don't know that they're necessarily happy.
Yeah,
with
no,
it,
I rescind that. Okay, I thought it was like an $80 to $100 million
probably
movie.
What it should have been.
Yeah, it's not gonna be a huge flop, but it's like they're working to get their money back on this one. So.
Like I haven't seen the movie, so like I'm really trying to figure out what they could have done that needed $200 million.
Yeah, I don't
you
know.
You saw it, didn't you?
I saw it. Yeah, I was not pleased.
But was there anything in there that was like? Oh,
but
there
a lot
is.
Of people have like it. Yeah. I mean, it's. I won't say it's polarizing. There are certainly people that don't like it, but there's been a lot of people that seem very happy with it.
Yeah.
But from what's on the screen, $200 million. Like, what are they doing? Is she blowing shit up? What's going on?
No. Not $200 million. $130 million.
Was the I thought you said the budget was $200 million.
No. No. It's almost. It's a little over $200 million worldwide.
Oh, okay.
On a $130 million.
I thought you were saying the budget was $200 million.
Do you rescind your rescind now?
Yeah. I think they're closer to happy, but okay, because I was like $200 million.
Yeah, I was in the same boat. I was like, why did they spend $200 million on?
They're not lighting their cigars with $100 bills, but they're also not jumping off buildings,
right?
So they're somewhere there in the middle.
Because it also refreshes that character for a new generation.
It does,
which is very important for Disney from an intellectual property standpoint. Yeah. That it's not because like. I mean, I know when I was at Disney World before Christmas, like they had Mary Poppins out, and
oh, they did.
And people,
is she dressed like this or dressed like Julie Andrews?
I don't know enough to know.
Okay,
but yeah, she's dressed like the Julie Andrews, like the white. She dresses in the white costume when they go in the park with the dancing bands
stuff. But there were people lining up. I think I feel like more than you would have seen normally.
Sure.
You know,
well, that's because Alice in Wonderland has backed out the front gate, so they're like, "Hey, Mary Poppins is available." Alice in Wonderland is hard to talk to.
Really?
Yeah, she gets a long line.
How you doing? But Disney has. We've got the Lion King, right? That's this year.
Aladdin.
See that post on, was it on Reddit, where they're like, wow, just to show you that Disney's run out of ideas, a theater with Coming Soon, and it's four Disney remake posters in a row.
Yeah.
Like,
okay, in defense of Disney here, like, you know, Pinocchio is not an original Disney story.
Right.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarves are not an original Disney story. Would you like me to continue? Like, they've built their empire off
redoing stuff,
pre-existing intellectual property.
Yeah.
So it's like, this is not a new thing,
and also they don't have to pay,
and they don't got to pay anybody,
right? They just redo their own movies.
Yeah,
their scripts are already there.
They're a business. I mean, each one of these movies will make over $1 billion. Like, would you not make I mean, they just bought. They've spent. What, 70 something billion on Fox that's just clearing, you know, it's going to clear here pretty soon.
I think they
need to make some money.
I think their larger concern needs to be at some point that they're essentially strip mining their past. Oh,
they are.
And they're going to run out of things here soon.
And like, we don't want another
one. Nobody's going to be like, oh, right on, the live action version of Oliver and Company.
Like, you know what would work, honestly, are those ones that weren't well received. Why isn't there a live? Why wouldn't they do Treasure Planet? Or
because nobody cares.
Yeah, but I mean, like, Treasure Planet, I feel like is.
But they're remaking these to make money.
I think if they,
because this is an instant billion.
Treasure Planet would be Ready Player One level.
No, it'd be cool, but the problem is that, see, these movies will make an instant billion.
What was the other one?
Treasure Planet is like, well, no one did it the first time, and are you going to get people to see it? If you do, great. But if you don't get them to come out,
maybe they'll have a line of like direct to. VOD, like, here's our live-action Brother Bear.
But no, so they've got Lion King, they've got Aladdin, they've got Avengers, they've got Captain Marvel,
and a Star Wars movie.
Star Wars. Dumbo next year is another remake.
Yeah. Is that 2019?
Yeah.
Okay.
Year, yeah.
It's they've got, it's Aladdin, Pinocchio, right? Is Pinocchio, right?
Yeah.
Is the Disney? Yeah, Aladdin, Pinocchio,
Little Mermaid
with Lin-Manuel Miranda doing the music is coming out, but that wasn't part of this poster. But like, just in the next year or something, there's like four, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's
but what happens when you run out?
Right, because it's like, it's time to remake the live action Beauty and the Beast. It's an animated version of the live action Beauty and the Beast.
Cartoon.
Oh
my goodness.
Well, no, you know what's funny? I said years ago when Pixar was at its peak that Disney should just take those animated properties and
do the Pixar thing.
Do an animated Pixar style, but keep the original audio track.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd
just
be
update so kids go to see it, but they have the classic.
But just do a modern animation style.
Yeah.
But like I said, keep all the audio.
Right.
Totally, because that's the thing is those movies are great, but the kids nowadays, they're just like, that's
old. Black and white to them.
Yeah, it really is. Like, it is so hard to get, like, I've introduced my son to the classics. He's 9, and so, like, we've got all the Blu-rays, Lion King, Aladdin,
Song of the South.
Yeah, we've watched
Birth of a Nation.
Yeah, well, haven't gotten to that one yet. He's not 10. But, but you know, we've watched all these animated movies, and, like, you know, he'll sit down for them, but I can tell he's just not as interested in them because of the animation style, and it's like, oh, these are the best, you know, and I grew up with them, but they just don't.
I don't know that it's entirely the animation style. I think sometimes it's the storytelling technique.
Yeah.
Movies, I mean, I find myself sometimes with older movies like pick up the pace.
Let's go.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a longer form
of
filmmaking than it is now.
Yeah. So
I watched this is not a kids movie, but I rewatched over the holidays because it, you know, everyone thinks of this at Christmas time, of course, it's Stripes. And
because
candy canes have stripes.
That's true. No, they do. Yeah.
Not the director's cut.
Good call.
Don't ever watch the director's cut. It is brutal.
Yep.
Like, you will be amazed at how close they came to putting out
an awful disaster.
Yeah. It is so bad.
Yep.
So I watched the non-director's cut because Crystal had never seen it. And I was so...
Such a great movie.
And you married her?
Yeah. Have you watched it recently?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I was really caught off guard, but like, Winger's...
I love that movie.
Winger's really a dick.
He is a dick.
Like, when you watch it with a current sensibility...
Oh, really?
You're just like, you're kind of a douche. why, you know, in the middle... Like, first off, Stripes, even when I was like, this is a great movie...
Yeah.
Once they get to boot camp, you can stop watching. Like, once they get done with boot camp.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
When they go to Germany and the Winnebago, it's like...
Boot camp is the best part of
boot
that
camp. Yeah. As soon as he says that's the fact, Jack, you're done. You know? But,
that's a fact, Jack.
But yeah, like, when they get to that scene, I'm like, why is anybody following this guy? Yeah. He's been a complete dick
to
the whole time.
Even his best friend.
Yeah. Like, why would you be like, okay, yeah, let's rally behind him.
Right, right.
And we'll win the day. Yeah. Oh, because he's Bill Murray. That's the only reason.
Because he's tagging PJ Souls.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other one's
Sean
Young.
Yeah. But yeah, I was just like really caught off guard. Like at the beginning when he quits his job, and I'm just like,
yep. Like I love that scene of them in the apartment where he's like, I bet you $5 you can't do 10 push-ups.
Or like when his girlfriend walks out on him, and I'm just like, I'm like on her side.
Yeah.
I'm no, like, it makes totally. Sense. When I watched that last time, I thought the same thing. Yeah. I'm like, you get it.
And Crystal was like, ugh, I hate guys like this. Like instantly, like couldn't stay, you know.
But that was kind of the Bill Murray character though.
Oh, it absolutely
was.
That's
Bill Murray. Yeah. I mean, that's what he does. That's his.
And he was just playing it up to 11 in that one.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Mary Poppins Returns.
Take it easy, Francis.
it's a tough one. I mean, I wanted to like it. I expected to love it. I mean, Lin-Manuel Miranda, I'm a huge fan of his and Hamilton.
Yeah.
And obviously a Disney fan. And the original movie is great. But the problem is there's no songs in this new one. I could not tell you what one of the songs was with Mary Poppins. I didn't even grow up with it. Like, I watched it with Katie a year ago or so, and it was like my second time watching it. I did not grow up with Mary Poppins.
I don't think I've ever actually seen Mary Poppins.
Yeah, but it's like, but when you watch, I mean, it's the Sherman Brothers. Like, they were geniuses. They wrote, like, every song is a memorable song. And so, even though I haven't seen it that much, I could rattle off all these songs. And in this new one, I'm like, there's not a song. Like, there's not the song that you remember, you know? And it's not like in Mary Poppins where there's a trillion, you know? But there is no supercalifragilistic where you're like, oh, that's so catchy. It's an earwig. And,
yeah.
So there's that, and then just like Emily Blunt plays it closer to the book, which I get that's a source material, but it's also a sequel to a movie, and so you're changing the tone from the movie Mary Poppins to the book Mary Poppins, and so it's jarring. It's an entertaining film, so like if you take your kids to see it, and especially if they haven't seen the first one, it is an entertaining time at the movies, but they don't have any pre-existing knowledge of the character or the original song, so like they may be entertained, but if you've seen that original, I don't know how you go into it and are just like, I love this new version, because it just doesn't touch the original. It's tough. So anyway,
it's interesting. Like, I feel like they have spent more money and more time on the remakes of the animated stuff than this. Like, I feel like this was just a viable property, just as much of a viable property as the Lion King.
Yeah.
From, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
But I feel like they're just like, no, no, no. Like, we got to, like, we really need to worry about The Jungle Book and Aladdin and Lion King.
The problem is it's older, though. You're talking about, I guess that's you're true. Talking about Mary Poppins, which was from the 60s. I will also say
I'm always 60s. A sucker for the old live action combining with animation. So, like, sure. Incredible Mr. Limpet, Mary Poppins, yeah. Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Yeah. Like, I love
And they
that
do a great
stuff.
Scene. The best part of the entire movie is when Mary Poppins and the Lin-Manuel character, and they take the kids into a world that's it's an homage to the original.
Yeah.
You know, they've got the... they go into, a vase, and the vase has a painting of horses and different things, and so they jump into it and go into that
and
world.
And it goes, like, 2D animation?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and nice. So they blend okay. in with that, so that's very cool technically. And there's a neat scene, and Lin-Manuel Miranda raps in the scene, so he actually gets to do his thing. It's, like, it's fine. It's not a memorable song, but it's, like, okay, cool, he's doing his thing.
What was it? Was it... Tom and Jerry? Did Tom dance with
Gene Kelly? Yeah, and Anchors Away, I think it was.
Cool.
Yeah,
I like that.
But anyway,
I think that might have been one of the first.
I think it was
usages of that.
Yeah,
because
then
I think
they
won an Oscar for it or something, didn't they?
Oh, maybe.
I feel like it was a big. It was like a groundbreaking thing.
And then Seth MacFarlane redid it.
He
took Tom out and put Stewie in there.
Yeah,
it was the same thing.
But you know, right now the thing is with all these movies, I mean, they're tapping into nostalgia. And so all these kids, all these people like us that now have kids, like we're going to go spend our money to relive our childhood with The Lion King, Aladdin.
They have to tap into that.
Not our grandparents are going to be like, oh, a new Mary Poppins. Like right. It's just a different beast.
Do you think so with this Fox deal, probably in the next 3 weeks?
Yeah. I mean, they said beginning of 2019,
do you think there's a Wolverine cameo? That's the rumor.
In the new X-Men?
In the new Avengers.
Oh, in the new Avengers.
That Wolverine will show
I don't know, because he says he's done, so
doesn't have to be him.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Doesn't have to be him.
I don't know.
I don't know. He says he's done, Marvel's like, here's $50 million. And okay.
I thought he said at one time he was done after Logan, but then he was interested in the Disney stuff.
I bet he was.
Yeah. He obviously loves the character and it's made him ultra famous. I mean, he's a super talented guy, but it put him on the map mainstream.
It's a perfect storm of a career for him where that wasn't supposed to be him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm supposed to be that guy from Mission Impossible 2 when he got hurt or something.
It's crazy. And like, just think about Hugh Jackman is an ultra talented guy, but man, he started off as like a Broadway guy and then he became a mega superstar.
His breakout role was Oklahoma.
Yeah. He was currently
in
Oklahoma.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And he's great. He's so talented, but it's like now, but then he played Wolverine.
Yeah.
Like it's just such a weird.
But who's the suit that was like,
yeah,
let's get the guy from Oklahoma to play Wolverine.
Right?
Is his audition out there?
Not that I've seen.
Okay, that's what I want to see. Is like, what did they see? Like, what did he
the thing
do coming
is that
in?
But now knowing what we know and seeing Hugh Jackman over the years, like the guy can do anything. He's just so ultra talented.
Yeah.
He's got the charisma like The Rock does. You know, he's got the natural charisma.
Yep.
He is talented. He's a great actor. You know, and it's like. I think they just saw what we all see now, but to take a gamble on that.
On a guy who was, you have to cast an unknown, yeah. I guess, in that role, kind of like
but
Superman.
But it's like Swordfish. He went from Swordfish to X-Men.
They were.
No.
Yes.
X-Men was first.
No. X-Men's 2000. Swordfish is 99, I believe.
I don't. Swordfish is the boob, is the Halle Berry boobs, right? That's after X-Men.
Well, then they were around the same time.
They could have been, but X-Men was first.
Swordfish is 2001.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they had to be filming around
He probably filmed X-Men and jumped right to Swordfish.
Yeah, but it's like, it's just weird that it's like he hadn't done any, well, then he really hadn't done any,
no.
You know.
X-Men is like his,
he took Swordfish because he's like, ooh, I can see her boobs.
Said he did Kate and Leopold.
Everything that he's done is post-X-Men.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I was trying to think. That's why I thought he had done Swordfish.
Swordfish is the only reason I remember that movie.
They made that such a huge part of their marketing.
$50,000.
Yeah.
$50,000 to show her boobs.
Yeah.
What? I just can't remember.
She had never posed topless ever. Yeah.
And so wasn't it just a pointless scene too? Her like laying on the beach.
So she's laying on the beach and she has like something covering, like she's reading something.
Yeah.
And he's talking to her and she drops whatever she's reading and she's topless.
I think it's a laptop. Like
it could have been, yeah. And like that was it. Like that was the scene. $50,000. Yep. $25,000 a boob.
So is that movie rated R?
Probably.
I just haven't seen Swordfish as long.
Yeah,
it's
for the best.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. The according to IMDb, the thing listed on his credits immediately prior to X-Men is Oklahoma TV movie.
Yeah.
Which I think is really they
filmed Oklahoma.
They filmed the stage play for like. like PBS or something.
Right. Because
they still show it on PBS sometimes.
Yeah, X-Men
is. Before that, it's nothing I've ever heard of. I honestly don't think it's like it's Erskineville King's
that
paperback
like a,
hero.
That's probably all Australian
stuff. Yeah, that's what I was saying. That's where I was going is I think this is all Australian stuff. Halifax FP.
That's got a
Snowy River, the McGregor saga.
Ooh. Is there a porno called Throw a Shrimp on the Barbie? There has to be, right?
Sure. I think.
Yeah. I mean,
probably
if you go deep enough, anything
you say,
any phrase you come up with has probably been a porno.
But I'm just saying that has to be an Australian porno, right?
Yeah.
Like,
don't bottleneck it. Like, it could be an American one. Who knows? Like,
but it's an Australian fake Australian saying.
It's Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah, like,
but yeah, like his first professional thing appears to be Law of the Land in '94, and by 2000, he's Wolverine.
Yep.
I hope that executive at Fox is enjoying a very nice retirement, though. Oh, seriously. Like, whoever was like, that guy from Oklahoma, he's going to be our new Wolverine and start what will...
Well, no. Like, even the guy from Mission Impossible was in. Like, it was done. Like, he was already working on the costume.
What's that guy's name, the bad guy?
Dermot. No.
No.
Dougray Scott?
Dougray Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he got hurt. Well, they, you know.
Dylan McDermott. Or Dermot Mulroney.
Dermot Mulroney? I don't know.
I love that they did an SNL skit. That's just amazing.
But, like, yeah, he was locked. He was signed, delivered.
Right, right.
He was ready to go. And then he got hurt. And then they're just like, hey, that Hugh Jackman guy looks pretty good. We'll get him.
Oh,
and then
poor
Doug
Ray Scott.
Hugh Jackman's like, oh, by the way, I'm a megastar now. Yeah. And Doug Gray Scott's like, the 50th anniversary of Mission Impossible 2 is coming out on Blu-ray.
I hope Doug Ray Scott gets a very nice Harry and David basket every Christmas from Hugh Jackman.
He sends him just like X-Men comics.
He sends him Blu-ray.
He's like, Wolverine.
Sign.
He's like, thanks for everything.
Yeah, you can at least sign it. Like, he's like, hey, next year when you send me the sign, could you not personalize it? Because then I can sell it on eBay.
Oh,
sorry,
man,
Dougie.
Sorry, Dougie.
He sends him just Blu-rays of Wolverine Origins.
Yeah. No, yeah,
every
X-Men
year.
Origins.
That's it.
This is the one you miss, bro. Bub. This is the one you miss, bub.
So, Mary Poppins Returns. You've heard everything about it that we have to say. Coming in at number 3, the movie of the week, Escape Room. Thanks to me and Brad going to the theater, that has made $16 million.
You guys each paid $8 million?
Yeah, wow,
to see this movie?
I feel like you overpaid.
He bought my tickets.
So. Oh, okay.
Movie Boyfriends.
$16 million.
I don't remember.
No, you didn't.
No. I was like, I thought that was A-list.
$16 million.
Oh, my God. That was my first A-list movie.
Oh.
It works really well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
$16 million opening week. I mean...
Can't be. I mean, like, it can't be.
$9 million budget, yeah. Gentlemen. $16 million opening weekend. Like,
I'm sure other studios are like, wait a minute. We can do what Blumhouse does. Why,
right.
Why are we just giving everything to them?
It totally is. I mean, the whole movie's CG. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, the backgrounds and everything. There's not much to it, you know, and we'll get into it next episode. But definitely they have to be happy with that opening. So we'll talk about that shortly. But number 4, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, still sticking around with $12.9 million, a 31% drop. So word of mouth still going strong on that one. $133.7 million domestic.
So good.
And overseas, $109 million. So it's up over $240 million worldwide on a $90 million budget.
I kind of wish that was higher. Like, I'm ecstatic that it's as high as it is.
I think
it definitely deserves to keep making money.
I think
sure.
The animation style is keeping people away.
You think so?
I do. And I mean, it's a hit.
Yeah.
But I think that
they don't know what to make of it.
Right. Just, and I think when it hits home video, people will that's when you'll get the round of people that take a movie from being like a hit to a hit.
Sure.
And then when they make the second one, I think it's going to be very similar to the trajectory of Austin Powers.
Oh, sure.
Where the first movie was a hit and then it hit home video and all the people that like were like, this looks stupid.
So
and then when they saw it at home, they were like, oh my God, I was wrong.
All three of those are good.
There's so...
Yeah, that third one.
I love that
I like
one.
The third one too. I think it may be the age we were at when we saw it.
Yeah.
I watched the other day and I'm like, this is awesome. Like, the jokes are flying fast and furious. I'm like, and they hit. They're just like hit after hit.
Yeah, every time that guy would eat skin, it was just like,
it didn't happen that often, maybe twice in the movie.
Enough to ruin it for me. mean, I couldn't do it.
But the thing gross. With Into the Spider-Verse is, so, I mean, and also, if you follow, like, film directors on Twitter, like, all these big-name film directors are finding it now, and, like, every director is praising this movie. The thing is, not only is it visually compelling, and not only does it have great action, but, I mean, the fact that
there's a lot of heart in that
movie. Oh, yeah, totally. But also, the fact that you're getting a mainstream superhero being a Spider-Man, that you've got his mixed descent, you know, the fact that he is half black, half Hispanic. And it's like he is Spider-Man. So now all these kids, either black or Hispanic, you know, in the minority crowd, they can now look up and see themselves as Spider-Man. I mean, that's huge what it's doing. And that's not to say that the movie is only for black and Hispanic. We obviously all know
that. Oh, it's a Spider-Man movie.
Right.
But
so,
when you give another audience somebody that looks like them,
right?
Yeah,
rather than a white guy,
right?
That's Black Panther's a prime example of what happens when you have a hero that isn't morally ambiguous. Like, I feel like that was always kind of a stumbling block, is that they, like, when studios would make African American quote unquote heroes, they have like there's an edge to them that that studio execs think people want in an African American hero. And you don't have to do that. I mean, you look at Falcon, or you look at Black Panther, or Miles Morales. Like, all of these they're not morally ambiguous. They're just good dudes, and you know,
I think it proves that there's no reason why you can't have a superhero that's not white.
Sure.
They've, you know, you see superheroes and they all look the same, and it's like, look at this, we've gotten Black Panther, and now we have the Spider-Man movie, and so everyone that already loved Spider-Man still loves it does the same thing that those other movies did, except for now you've got a whole bunch of kids that can look up and see themselves, and so that's an added bonus. And so the movie hits on all those different levels, and I think when people discover it, and the kids are going to watch it on home video, and people are going to keep talking about it, I mean, it will just blow up, like Tom said, and the second one, I'm sure, will be huge.
Massive. And I think there's a perception, because of all the DC animated movies,
true,
that the animated superhero stuff is
second tier,
is less than,
right?
Whereas the animated used to be the best.
It was the good stuff.
But they've kind of stumbled lately on that.
I think it's going to stick around too for an extra award season push, because I think I'm going to pick it over the Incredibles winning the at least the Globes tonight.
You know, I love Incredibles too. I think it's a great sequel, but I wouldn't put it over Isle of Dogs or this. Like,
the thing about Incredibles is that style is established. It's the same Pixar, Disney animation style. It's the same thing. Isle of Dogs, as much as I don't like that director, is different.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Spider-Man is
different.
Different.
That's
look.
What I mean.
So I feel like that should, you know.
Incredibles 2, they definitely took it up a notch. There's a lot of photorealistic stuff. The cinematography is great. The animation is much better than the original, but still, at a quick glance, though, it does look the same style.
It's
they're not doing anything
Pixar house style.
Yeah, they've over 12 years kept making it a little, tweaking it, but it still looks like a Pixar movie.
Right. But I will also say, the Academy loves to reward past success.
Sure.
And this award didn't exist when The Incredibles came out.
That's true.
And
wait.
I don't think it did.
Yeah, it won.
Animated?
Did it?
Best animated?
Has it been around that long?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, then never mind. I thought I was going to, like, oh, maybe they'll give it to it because they couldn't give it to the first time. God, I didn't realize
when did that show up? When was the first year they were just like, best animation? I mean, because Beauty and the Beast was, what, in 80?
90.
So and that was Best Picture, so it didn't exist in the 90s.
I think it started with Toy Story.
Where, like,
I don't think it was around for.
They have to give it.
It goes back as far as Monsters Inc.
2001
lost to Shrek.
The first one was
one or two. I think Shrek.
Because the first to win it was Shrek.
Okay,
there you go.
That was the year Monsters Inc. was against it, right? Or you probably.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It was that year.
Toy Story didn't get a chance to even win that.
Which, but I mean, like Toy Story.
Think about what that started. Yeah, but think how revolutionary Toy Story
was. It,
and I mean, that movie started this industry.
Yep.
This new CG.
Yep.
Like.
And that movie still holds up.
I just watched it. So that's one of those movies that they didn't used to come with digital.
Right.
So, like, I hadn't watched it in a long time because I usually browse through Vudu or Movies Anywhere, the digital stuff, and I just don't have it. So I finally ripped my Blu-ray to Plex so I could watch it digitally.
Yeah.
And so I hadn't watched it in years. And I looked back, and sure, it's simple, like, compared to the stuff we're used to. But still, for 95, like, it looks amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how revolutionary. They used to, like, it took them... days to render, like weeks to render movie. But you know what I mean? Because the computers back then, even though they had these super computers for the time, like each scene took them days and days. And in that story, have you heard that story about how they almost lost the entire project?
Yeah.
That is an amazing story.
Like that wasn't like it was like a lady that worked there had a draft backed up or something.
Yep.
And she's like,
she was
pregnant, I got it.
So she was working from
home. That's what it was,
And they gave her like dailies to look at. And so she was able to back up the entire movie or like whatever draft it was and bring it home to work on. And someone typed a wrong command back at Pixar and deleted the entire project. No
like
backups.
That, even talking about it. Makes me sick to my stomach.
It does. Yeah. It's totally. Can you imagine the person that deleted it and then they didn't know how to recover it?
Yeah.
Like how sick they would be.
Can we go back in the history and like try to reboot our computer
yesterday
but so like, that didn't happen?
She single-handedly. I mean, think about if that movie was lost and they probably couldn't have recreated it. They probably would have taken a loss.
It's almost like when you go back and watch the not the animation, but like the sketched out animation for Shrek with Farley's voice.
Yeah.
And you're just like, whoa. Like, it's not good. Like, it's, I mean, it's not good. Like, it's a complete, like.
I think it's not good because we're used to Mike Myers.
It's a completely different character. I don't think that character's as lovable with Farley doing it. And then when Mike Myers comes in and changes the voice and adds a little bit to it.
You know, he recorded it twice.
Yeah, he recorded
it
twice.
Yeah, there's two.
He did the whole movie.
He did the Farley version,
and then he's
right?
Like, well, he did the whole movie as Mike Myers.
Basically in his own voice,
Then he's like, wait a minute, let me try this. And then they re-recorded the entire movie with the Scottish accent.
And it worked.
It just, for whatever reason, works so much better.
But I think that movie doesn't do what it does with Farley as the voice. Because it's a completely different movie.
I mean, it's just hard to say, you know what I mean? Because we know that, but it could have.
Maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's hard to say. But anyway, so yeah, Spider-Verse doing well. I would love to see it stick around and
make
more money.
Did you see that? Was it Phil Lord that said that they will introduce the Japanese Spider-Man?
No.
In the sequel.
Oh, my God.
He's like, yeah, we'll add him. Why not?
That's amazing. Well, yeah, it's one of the universes.
Yeah,
he exists.
It counts.
With his guns.
Yeah. Weird spider robot.
It's so weird. That one doing quite well. Number five, Bumblebee, the movie of last week. $12.8 million is a 39% drop. So still taking in a modest box office, but small drops here. $97.1 million domestic. But we talked about it last week and that it hadn't rolled out foreign completely. So it's at $108 million right now overseas. So it's up over $200 million worldwide. But going over to the foreign... China, it only lists $3 million or $3,000. So like, we don't even have the China numbers in yet. I don't see Japan on there. So still, it's over $200 million without those big ones on a 135.
Why do you think they wait? I feel like the bootleg market overseas.
Well, China is very... They only allow a certain number of U.S. films in.
I get... Okay.
And so...
They're waiting for a slot to open
they
up.
Gotta, yeah, you have to wait for your turn because they don't want American films to succeed
overshadow.
At the expense of Chinese.
They don't want to take and they don't want to take money out of China to the U.S.
Right.
They want, I saw a poster because when I was posting the episode, I was looking at posters for our podcast feed, and I saw, I guess, the Chinese poster, and it's like Bumblebee, and then it said like, you know, March or April 3rd, or whatever, you know what I mean? So I saw it, and I'm like, oh wow! So it's like
that's a long time.
They're still waiting for it. Maybe it wasn't April, but you know, it was like a.
I would say April is. Avengers no that's May
whatever it was April, but I'm just like we got in December and there's like they're promoting it as whatever months or February something one of those months.
Do you think they go to them and are just like, look, we have this coming out, when's the next slot available?
Probably
like making
reservation.
And I think the bigger movies
get a
like
little...
they're mapping that out years in
advance, right.
And that's why you see in Avengers or something like that roll out like all at the same time. Yeah.
Or like BVS, they're just like, we got to get in front of these reviews.
Yeah.
Get it all out there now.
Yeah.
So, okay. So Bumblebee did just open this weekend. So we don't have the number. So it was January on the poster. So they got it a few weeks after us. So we'll see next week what it ends up doing. But yeah, it's already over 200. So I wouldn't be surprised if it made another 50 or 60 over there opening weekend. And we'll see how it continues to go. Number six, The Mule. So I'd still people going to that in week four. I'm surprised that's so high
people.
Up on the list.
Yeah. Oh, that's
right.
True.
Making it.
Yeah.
Making their way. Yeah. Four. I mean, that's it.
The article in AARP Monthly just hit.
Just came out.
And they're like, well, this sounds like a good one.
A new Clint Eastwood movie.
Yeah.
Is it?
I like that fella. That kid makes some good movies.
I liked him in that
What was he? Bonanza.
So yeah, I haven't seen it. I mean, I want to see it. I heard that it's pretty decent. I heard it's a little bit racist though.
I've heard that too. But I don't know why.
I don't know why either. That's what people just keep saying. It's kind of racist. I don't know why.
Central casting Mexicans.
I mean, he's like smuggling drugs, and I guess maybe he has a racist perspective on the people he's dealing with. I don't know. But anyway, 8.8 million in week six. So that's a 28% drop, $80.8 million for that one, domestically, no overseas money on a $50 million budget. So it's about making its money back here. Yeah. So,
and Clint Eastwood was on Rawhide, just for the record.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry.
I was I didn't think he was on Bonanza, but I'm
the Creature from the Black Lagoon. No, the third. Was he in the first one?
He was in one.
He was in the third one.
Yeah. He's in one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so that one doing well. Number seven, Vice, is $5.5 million, a 29% drop on that one in week two. So that's up to $29.4 million domestic.
That's the one I want to see.
Yeah, it's good.
Is it?
Yeah, it's good. It's getting some critical praise. I don't know what it's going to do at the Globes or Oscars. Yeah. But
Christian Bale
should win. Actor.
How does he not?
He just, and the weird thing is too, is it's like, so we all know Christian Bale. He was freaking Batman. We've seen him in so many roles. Somehow he manages to disappear into these roles where I'm like, I did not see Christian Bale as Chain.
I think it's funny that he plays Batman and Dick Cheney, proving the theory from Batman that you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
But man, he disappears though, doesn't he?
He does.
You're not like, oh, that's just Christian Bale. Yeah. You're like, I don't see.
I enjoyed the movie. I don't love it as much as some people do. Yeah. But I think it really kind of falls apart in the back half and loses the thread.
Yeah.
But
that credit stinger halfway through though. You didn't like that?
I don't know. I felt like at times the movie was trying way too hard to be wacky. I really enjoyed The Big Short, and I felt like he was really trying to shoehorn that form of storytelling onto this movie.
Oh.
And it didn't always work. Sometimes it worked great.
Yeah.
Other times it didn't work, and there were times where I felt like, I think if maybe you had just played this movie straight.
Yeah.
It would have been better.
Oh, yeah. I really
like still
it,
have
though.
That sensibility of like, this is Looney Tunes,
right?
But not without necessarily those. Have like so much of the wacky narrative structure to make it Looney Tunes.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it worked for me, but I understand what you're saying.
But
for sure.
I enjoyed the movie, but I don't think it's the masterpiece.
Has he ever won?
People are hailing it to be.
Christian Bale, has he ever been nominated?
Fighter, right?
Yeah, he won for The Fighter.
He did?
For
Newsies, of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
That is a rough one. That Broadway show is so good, and you go back and watch that movie, getting through him singing if you can, it is like I can't even describe it. It's worse than Nails on a Chalkboard.
He ain't no Hugh Jackman.
That's exactly, yeah. Trying to hear him sing, yeah. But,
He won for The Fighter?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
That one is going to be...
He's the brother. I don't know why I was thinking he was the Mark Wahlberg character. I was like, he wasn't really that good, but yeah, okay.
He's the brother.
He's the
It was a supporting
addict.
Role.
Yeah, he's a drug addict.
Did another
brother,
one of those,
right.
Got really skinny, got really strung out looking.
I'll never forget that, man. When they show him in the machinist, they're like, nope, this is Batman. No. And I'm just like, what the and then there's the next picture of him like all bulked and bloated, and you're just like, What movie are we trying to tell here?
When you see the machinist, you're like, are you sure he's not Scarecrow?
Yeah, right. Plastic Man?
Yeah.
Because I feel like this is gross. Yeah. And then you see that picture of him on when he's training and he's ripped out, you're like, oh, okay, that makes more sense.
I'll allow it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Number eight, Ralph Breaks the Internet, still making money with $4.8 million. It's a 29% drop in week seven, $187 million domestic, and overseas another $174. So another pretty even one there with a 51.4, 48.6 split. That's up over $360 million on a $175 million budget. So that's one that was really good that I think deserves to make even more money. But, there's just a lot coming out.
It's also weird. Like we talk about how it was an embarrassment of riches, like the first 2 weeks around Christmas, and then we get to this week and next week and there's nothing.
Yeah.
It's just like, why would you try to
Oscar season
and there's more people going to the box office because
they're
out of school, they're off work,
movie theaters in December trying to go.
I guess next week is that stupid John Wick Keanu Reeves movie
Replicas.
Yeah,
that's been delayed several times. I was wondering,
that looks interesting.
Upside is the big movie next
week. What's
that? The Kevin Hart, Bryan Cranston movie.
Or Bryan Cranston, you're right. Yeah, I'm sorry.
That was a Weinstein movie. I think they sold it off. during all that stuff.
Kevin Hart's not helping himself either.
That was supposed to come out way last year, maybe even last December, or, you know, like a year ago, and then the Weinstein stuff happened, and so they pulled it. Yeah, because it's a remake of, I think, a French film that was really popular.
Oh, okay.
And so a lot of people were excited for it.
I believe the French film was called The Upside.
It was called Lay Upside.
Well,
Tom,
I didn't want to be too pretentious.
So anyway, Ralph Breaks the Internet, doing quite well still. Number 9, Second Act, that's that J-Lo movie. 4.8 million is a 35% drop, so still continuing to get people to the theater for that. 32.8 million.
So when I went to see Escape Room, I walked into the wrong theater.
Okay.
And it was for Second Act. And
your people walked into our theater.
Did too,
yeah, there was one person in there.
Is that right?
One lady.
Wow. Well, your people walked into our theater because when we were watching Escape Room, two older ladies walked
two-thirds of the way through
and tried to kick out the people in the seats next to us, saying they had their seats. They clearly were not there for Escape Room, especially at the end of the movie.
Right.
So they must have been trying to go to Second Act. So pretty funny.
Oh, my God.
I bought a ticket to the wrong theater.
Nice.
Because I bought a ticket to AMC Creve Coeur by accident.
I have done that.
So I showed up, and I went to AMC Chesterfield. And they're both AMC Classic Creve Coeur, AMC Classic Chesterfield. So like when you're on the app and you're like, and so I showed up at 6:45 for a movie that started at 7:30. Luckily, I really showed up at like 7:05 because I know better.
Right.
And like my thing's not scanning. And then they're just like, just go in. And I'm like, which theater? I don't have a ticket. And they're like, it's 10 on your right. I'm like, okay. So I go in, there's just one lady in there, and I'm like,
this ain't right.
She don't look like she's here for a skate.
I was like, she's knitting.
Yeah, and like the thing said Second Act on the above the door, and I was like, what are you here to see? And she's like, Second Act. I'm like, okay, I have the wrong seat. So I walk back, and then I'm showing them like, and the guy's like, oh, no, that's on the other side of the. And I was like, okay. Right. And he's like, but. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm like, I'm just playing beat the clock at this point because I peed and got a soda.
Right.
Yeah, and you had like 45 minutes to spare. Now you're trying.
Right. And and he's like, oh, it doesn't start until 7:30. And I was like, no, it starts at 6:45. And he's like, no, it's 7:30. And I was like, here's my thing. And I'm like, he's like, yeah, that's a 6:45. He's like, let me take you over to the manager. And then I'm looking at him, I'm like, son of a. And then
least you didn't act like a jerk and act like they didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah. And then the manager lady was like, I was like, what should I do? You want me to like, I was like,
do you want me to leave?
I was like, I was like, I can like refund it. And I was like, I did it through MoviePass or whatever, A-List. And so I'm like, I can refund it and just rebook it. Like, it's no big deal. And she's like, just go sit down. And I'm like, okay.
So we have other customers to deal with. We've been dealing with you for an hour.
I did that with Spider-Verse when I took Bella to go see it. I bought tickets and I was like, oh, this is perfect. Like, it's the perfect time. And then I realized, like, we were out somewhere and I looked down at my phone. I was like, oh, no. Like, I bought it for the Marcus in Chesterfield.
Oh.
And I was just like, no. Luckily, the one at Ronnie's was like, you know, Fandango will let you refund it or just exchange it.
Yeah. As long as it hasn't started.
Yeah. Because that's what the lady said to me. She's like, you can't refund it because you got the 6:45 and now it's 7:10.
Yeah. Right.
And I was like, well, it's through MoviePass. I'm not going to see three movies this week. So
it's whatever.
I can like.
You just used one of yours. So it's not like you were going to get a free movie. Out
right.
Of it. You literally had used
it. Yeah. And so she was just like, just go sit down.
That's
I'm
good.
Like, okay. Phew.
So.
If AMC listens, don't get out because you know exactly when I saw it.
He said he saw it at the Wisconsin 18. So track them down. So anyway, where were we now? Oh yeah, Second Act. So 32.8 million in 4 weeks. That movie definitely performing better than I would have expected.
Yeah, I don't know what they expected, but it's certainly better than I would have expected.
$16 million budget on that one. $200 million budget on that one.
Wow.
It's for all those songs.
That's A-Rod's agent is just like, no, babe. Like, I'm not playing ball anymore, so whatever. You got to make double your salary so we can supplement my...
I'm sure he's got plenty in his savings.
I don't know. I think he got himself in some trouble. I don't think he finished.
Didn't he make like hundreds of millions
of
dollars?
Yeah, but then he got busted for peds.
Does he have to pay it back now?
No, but I mean like that. I mean, they can.
But that hurts his endorsement.
Yeah, hurts
deals
your endorsement.
And,
so I don't know what he was
making.
Hopefully
he didn't buy too many Lambos because that should last him quite a bit.
It should.
So,
well, you know, when you're getting like the high end steroids at this point, like that's, you know,
he's got Sly's guy helping him out. Yeah. So 6.6 million foreign on this movie. That's an odd one right there.
I feel like J-Lo's probably got fans overseas.
Yeah, it's just like this movie seems like a totally American,
like no interest.
Yeah, right. 2.2 million in Australia.
There's where her fans are.
447,000 in South Africa.
All right.
377,000 in the Netherlands. I mean, it's just totally random. Yeah. It's just, yeah. J-Lo, you're right.
J-Lo.
So, anyway, good for that one. And rounding out the top 10, this was a surprising one, Holmes and Watson with 3.4 million.
What?
I mean, that's one that I wouldn't think would have been critic-proof. I'm not saying that it's setting the world ablaze, but, like, after those reviews, for it to make 3.4 million in week
people
three,
going I think just people, to see how I
think
bad it is.
That's
just,
what yeah, I think. Yeah. I think it's the curiosity factor of, is it as bad
I thought
as
about
I've
it,
heard?
I'm not kidding either, because since we have that A-list thing and you can see three a week, like, I haven't been using mine. I see, like, one a week. I was like, if I don't have anything to do, I kind of want to see it. And I can always walk out, too. But,
right.
Like, I do want to know how it's that bad.
Yeah.
That Netflix is like, nah.
Yeah.
I saw that.
But 3.4 million, so it only is a 54% drop after those scathing reviews. $28 million, $28.4 million,
and I think it's only a $40 million movie,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's 28 domestic, but then it's 4 overseas, so it's around $32 million on a $42 million budget.
They're gonna fall ass backwards into making a profit.
But like, I can't believe they're not.
Well, I guess it's not a career engine from a box office.
Yeah. But yeah, that's amazing to me. Like, I thought it'd be one of those, like, it made $8 million.
Who
on
directed,
a 40 or
who directed that?
Ethan Cohen? Is that
interesting.
Is that one of the guys from Garfield?
What? Like one of the Garfield directors?
Oh, I don't know.
No, yeah, the only other movie was Get Hard, which was another
I didn't like Get Hard at all.
That's the one where he's like the Johnny Cash, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. No.
That's
when he's like
Hard.
Oh.
Kevin Hart teaches him how to be.
That's bad.
Get Hard, it was the gay panic movie.
Yes.
All the jokes. Well, that's why I think it's funny when people are mad at Kevin Hart because of the tweets, and he's like, that was a long time ago. And I was like, has anybody seen Get Hard?
Yeah. 3 years ago?
That whole movie was gay panic.
Yeah, right.
I will rescind my, it was a flop. It made 111 worldwide on a 40, so it didn't lose money. It wasn't huge, but I just remember it being terrible.
So they did Talladega Nights, which was huge.
Good, yeah.
They did
Step Brothers was huge
yeah, as well.
That was the one.
And then did they do something else together?
I don't
know. Or is it just those two?
I don't think
I think it's just those two.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a comedy pairing that works. And I just can't, like, maybe they just need the right person.
Well, clearly this, whatever. I think the problem
is... Who directed Talladega Nights?
Was that McKay?
That was Adam McKay.
I think so, too.
Did Adam McKay do Step Brothers as well?
That sounds right.
I'm going to look it up.
I feel like maybe Adam McKay is, like, the
I don't
the
know
glue.
That he did, but let me see. So he has directed Anchorman.
Perfect.
Talladega Nights.
Great.
Step Brothers.
Great.
The Other Guys. Anchorman 2.
Oh, Anchor. Okay.
The Other Guys was fun.
That's the one with Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah. Other cops.
The Wing Gun.
Yeah. Anchorman 2, The Big Short, and Vice. So, like, I think you're right, though. I mean, you see his trajectory and how Adam McKay is a good director. You know, they lose him to...
Was he Ant-Man? He was Ant-Man at one point, right?
Like he was going to
do Ant-Man?
He was
going to
take over for Edgar Wright. And then that lasted like a week. And he's like, no. Because I think he saw what Edgar Wright was dealing with.
Okay.
The studio control.
Okay.
And he's just like, no.
And then they got the guy from... What did he direct? Was it Marley and Me?
I don't remember whatever that guy's name is. But
just
do it. Hey, it worked out.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You got two movies out of the deal.
Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, Holmes and Watson took the number 10 spot, beating out Bohemian Rhapsody at number 11.
Oh.
Still making 2.3 million, a 2% drop.
Saw that this week.
A 2% drop, thanks to Brad.
Yeah. Well done. Well done.
I did my part. I loved it.
Okay.
I can't believe it took that long to see it.
Yeah. Like, week 10, $193 million domestic for Bohemian Rhapsody. And let me get out of my Adam McKay tangent here. If I can go to the weekly box office.
Peyton Reed. That's his name.
Peyton Reed.
Yeah.
Bohemian Rhapsody worldwide now on a $52 million budget has made $715 million.
Wow.
Not to mention all the record sales.
Yeah.
I mean,
are people buying like Queen records, or are they buying the soundtrack to this movie?
Both.
Probably both.
The thing is that I mentioned it back when, I mean, like a long time ago when we did the box office, I think, or maybe the next week after the movie came out. But like Queen had not been at the top, like the top 10 on Billboard for like 30 years or something like that. You know, yeah. I mean, they've been, obviously they always have their greatest hits and they're out there, but they hadn't been like top 10 popular in decades.
Yeah.
And like they went to the top of the charts after this movie. So not only do they have the movie money, but look at all that music money.
Yeah,
the
yeah brand. That's huge.
So I don't, it's, you know, we joked around about it with Chris, the, Frank the other day, but it's like, what other movies? What other biopics can we make?
Well, they just released that image of Taron Egerton as Elton John. Yeah. It's just kind of like, huh. That looks all right. I mean, he needs to get his ass in gear and start making some better choices. Yeah. But
Kingsman 2, which, I mean, I guess he got a pass on that, but that Robin Hood movie.
He was probably contractually obligated.
Yeah. I mean, it's just that movie was a big disappointment when it should have been fun. They just, that magic of that first one.
There's a third one.
Yeah.
What's that?
There's a third one coming, I think, this year.
But it's not going to have...
I don't think it's any... No.
It's maybe a prequel or another country's Kingsman or something like that. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. But
which is weird. Also, just like, you have a Netflix deal. What's going on?
I'm telling you, that guy, I don't know what he's doing. But anyway, that's the box office.
Did you ever see Peyton Reed's credits before we finish this out? What he directed before Ant-Man?
Yeah.
Bring It On
in
2000.
That was a big hit.
Legit. It was a huge hit. Yeah. Down With Love, which is that one with Obi-Wan. Ewan McGregor and... Kirsten Dunst. It looks like it's...
Alec Guinness and Kirsten Dunst. Yeah, right. That rom-com.
The Breakup, which I enjoyed. Yes Man. That Yes Man is his last movie. And then Ant-Man. Hmm. Ant-Man and the Wasp. It's just like...
He did Yes Man and Ant-Man?
Yes Man and Ant-Man.
Okay.
Yeah. And Yes Man's that...
Yes Ant-Man is the third one.
That's like on the
that's
down
the Jim Carrey one. Yeah.
And then, yeah. And then they're just like, can we hire somebody to direct this movie? And Peyton's like, I got... nothing going on.
Talk about a weird transition. Like, I get Edgar Wright, and then I get Adam McKay, you know, for his comedy writings and stuff.
Right.
The Russos had done Yumi and Dupree, right?
But if you look at his early credits, like, he directed a bunch of the Weird Al show. He did a bunch of the Mr. The Mr. Show with Bob and
Love Mr. Show,
Dave.
Yeah.
So like he's he has some comedy stuff in the back, like way back. But yeah, like Yes Man and then Ant-Man.
Yeah. You know the Mr. Show was the Comedy Bang Bang guys. Like Scott Aukerman wrote for Mr. Show.
Yeah. Did you ever see their new one?
Bob on Netflix. Yeah,
so good.
Yeah, it's just like the same. It's the same show. They just can't call it Mr. Show. Yeah. So it's
There you go.
But anyway, that again is the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So I guess
have you ever seen Peyton Reed's college yearbook? Do you see all those signatures?
Bring It On is the weird one. Like it's just like what? All right.
I don't know.
Bring It On.
That was popular.
That was super popular.
That was freaking 50-year-old,
Jesse
Bradford as a
high school kid.
Have you seen Bring It On?
Oh, yeah.
It's a funny movie.
It's got Elijah Dushku.
I liked that.
You better believe I saw that movie.
Kirsten Dunst, Elijah Dushku.
That's a funny movie.
It is funny.
Like, I saw it a year or two after it came out. I don't even know why I watched it. It just happened to be on, and I was just like, that was really good.
I'm telling you right now, and I've said this on the show before. I don't know if you guys remember. Bring It On, the musical? Really fun show. You know who did the music for that?
Lin-Manuel
Miranda. Really? So like it works so well.
There are kind of those girl like comedies that break through. So like there was Clueless and Bring It On,
Legally Blonde,
Mean Girls.
Yeah. Pitch Perfect. So like
you say that is like the target demo is female,
but they're still just good movies.
I just find that
I love it when a genre movie or like that has a hyper target like is you end up
well
you're
done.
Like this I know this movie wasn't for me
right
but it
I really like
damn it's good.
That has to be like Pitch Perfect, right? Like
Pitch
Perfect, you wouldn't ever think that like this female acapella group you know, and it's all
especially I'm walking into the screening I was like, This is just a Glee knockoff. Like, what are we doing?
They were capitalizing on the Glee popularity, and then it was really good.
Yeah, totally.
I never would have watched Bring It On, but the guys at my high school, when I was in high school, were talking and quoting that movie all the time, and I was like, that's not a movie that was ever on my radar.
When
Elijah
Dushku walks on scene, thumbs up. I like what she's got. My favorite part was she got that tattoo.
Was it just thumbs up?
Nope. Are you kidding me, man? She was Faith on Buffy.
So that's the box office report.
Third time's a charm.
That's right.
So I guess let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them. Hopefully, not jail.
This is Brad. You can find me on ReviewSTL.com.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21. Elijah Dushku, you feel free to follow me if you'd like.
Yeah, she feel free to get a restraining order.
She listens every week, I'm sure.
Yeah. Dedicated listener.
And this is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online on Twitter at Real Spoilers or on Facebook, Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. And of course, don't forget our Patreon, because I forgot it at the beginning of the show, at Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So
the other one was at Cuthbert, who was that?
Alicia
Cuthbert.
She, oh man,
because that was around the same time when Eliza Dushku
was the girl next door.
Yeah, was yeah. big.
No,
well, I mean they were like around. They were doing movies.
She was in 24, I think, was what really.
Yeah, yeah. Eliza Cuthbert, like Girl Next Door, was in the 2000s.
Yeah,
Bring It On was 2000. The Girl Next Door was like 2005.
Okay, I just remember like around the 2000s where
you ain't kidding.
You're not wrong. Yeah.
And that was the box office. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up on the next episode, we will tackle The Escape Room. So until then, you've been warned. Like a worn-out recording of a favorite song. So while she lay there sleeping, I read the paper in bed. And in the personal columns, there was this letter I read.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.